الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، today we covered from beginning of Surah Tur all the way till the end of Surah Mujadila, which is a bit closer to the end of the first quarter of the 28th juz. So starting off with Surah Tur. Surah Tur, the theme of Surah Tur is the Day of Resurrection, comforts of Jannah, and objections of some of the polytheists. And Tur is actually a mountain, which in English is known as Mount Sinai. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears on Mount Sinai, wa Tur, that his punishment is eventually going to come and the day of judgment is going to come. So we should not feel that, we should not get too comfortable. What is the mountain of Tur? We don't know exactly. Which is it, the mountain that was where Musa alayhi salam received the Torah? Some narrations say it's actually a mountain in Jannah. Whatever it may be. But there's Mount Tur. Where is it? We don't know exactly. If it's the one in Jannah, then of course we don't know. If it's on Earth, then it may be in Saudi Arabia, but there's another one in Egypt. Seems like it's most likely the one in Saudi, but Saudis insist it's theirs, and Egyptians insist their Mount Tur is real. Whichever one it is, it doesn't matter. Anyway, in this, so there's one ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this surah that those people that are pious and they follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their children follow them too, if the parents are in a higher level than the children, what's going to happen is that when they get to Jannah and they get to that level and the parents are at a higher rank, then they're going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that where are my children? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not in the Quran, this is explaining a narration, I'll explain what the Quranic ayah says. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell them that your children didn't reach your rank in Jannah. They're here, but they didn't reach your level and your status, so they're not in this area. So then the parents are going to say that I work for them too in this world, that I work for their success as well, not only mine. I spent my time, effort, money, everything on them so they could be where I am, not that they'll be somewhere lower. So then what's going to happen? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعْتُمْ ذُرِّيَّةُمْ إِلْحَامِ إِيمَانِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring their children all the way to where the parents are. وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I will make sure that none of their deeds go low. It's not that either of them are going to lose out on any of their good deeds because of the ranks changing. No. The parents will stay on top. The children will be taken to that level on the condition وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ The children follow the parents' path in terms of their iman. That is the condition there. And there's one other ayah I want to mention in the surah, and we'll move on to the next surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the last few ayahs of the surah, He reminds us about those people who sin in this world and of how oblivious they are to His warnings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, وَإِن يَرَوْا كِسْفًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ سَاقِطًا يَقُولُوا سَحَابٌ مَرْكُومٌ That even if they see a punishment coming down from the sky and it's falling upon them, they're still just going to say that, oh, maybe it's just a really, really rainy day, clouds, even if it's something that's an anomaly, something completely not normal. Even when they see something not normal, they're still going to say that, oh no, that's just the weather, it's just something that happens all the time, it's okay, it's not a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to leave them, فَذَرْهُمْ حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي فِيهِ يُصْعَقُونَ Leave them, let them play, enjoy themselves, and then finally their punishment is going to come. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا عَذَابًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ The wrongdoers, especially those that are going to be punished in Jahannam. For the wrongdoers in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a minor punishment before He gives His major punishment on the Day of Judgment, and most of them don't even realize it. Now right now, for us, that this pandemic is covering the entire world, the question to ask ourselves is, that are we also simply casting aside this entire thing, thinking of this pandemic as just another thing that's happening? Maybe we were just saying that, 100 years ago there was a pandemic, so it's happening, and it happens all the time, who cares, whatever. Is that what we're saying? And are we still continuing to only worry about our worldly affairs? Now, unless we're free from sin, any of us could be overdue for a major punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should take this pandemic as a warning. This is not a simple thing. This is probably something we're only going to see once in our entire lives. If there is something you're going to see that is a natural disaster type thing only once in your life, that must be a warning from Allah. What else is it going to be? Are we going to be like them who says that, sahabu marqum is just the weather. That's how it is. And just happening is like that. Next surah is Surah Najm. In the theme of the surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the truthfulness of the Quran and how its revelation to Rasulullah is truthful and it's not just made up stories and tales. And in relation to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hints towards the events of Mi'raj and how Rasulullah met Jibreel alayhi salam. The name Najm means a star, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the star for two reasons. Because a star has two qualities. Number one, a star never truly deviates from its path. Keep in mind, obviously, on the earth, in terms of cosmology, when we look at the stars, they look like they're moving, but like it's, they're in their area, they're in their orbit, but it's always following a certain path. That's why scientists today, and they can properly pinpoint the location of each star and where it's going to be, even if they look into the historical records of 100,000 years ago, exactly where everything was. Because it's always exactly going in the same path, in the same way, in the same direction, in the same whatever orbit it's in and the axis it's going on. So number one is a star never deviates from its path. And number two, a star is a guide for travelers. And this is the, and so now in relation to that, since it never deviates from its path and it's a guide for travelers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears on the star that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the same. He never deviates from his path, and he's also a guide for all the people that are traveling in this world towards the Akhirah. I just wanted to mention one ayah here. I'll just read out the translation of this ayah, that right now this pandemic is a reminder, and in relation to this, just the last few verses of this surah are very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Azifatil Azifah. The day of judgment has already drawn near. It's right there. Azifatil Azifah. Laysa laha min dunillahi kashifa. Other than Allah, no one can remove it. Afamin hadhal hadithi ta'jabun. And when you hear this, these things, do you ta'jabun? Do you think of it? Do you think it's amazing, astonishing? You just ignore it. وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. And you just laugh and you do not cry. وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ. And you just continue to be playing in your entertainment and being heedless. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, don't do that. The last ayah of the surah, I'm not saying it on purpose because then we'll have to do sajda. The last ayah of the surah, Allah reminds us to continue worshipping Him. But I won't mention what it specifically says, otherwise we may have to do sajda. Just as a reminder, if you read a translation of a sajda verse, you still have to do sajda. But I didn't read to say the translation on purpose right now. Next surah is Surah Qamar. Qamar, of course, means the moon. And this surah was revealed in Mecca. When the Meccans asked Rasulullah, when Rasulullah was in Mina, and they asked Rasulullah for proof, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split the moon between Mount Hira. And when Rasulullah did that, the people of Mecca responded and they told Rasulullah that no, you've just done some magic on us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions exactly what the people of Mecca say and then responds to all of their things. And then in relation to that, He brings information and the stories of the nations that were before them, and when they denied the things they saw, they were all destroyed. Like Ad, Samud, Lut, and Fir'aun specifically are mentioned in the surah, and Nuh alayhi salam as well. There's just the last few verses of this surah are very important for us too. Allah, at the end of this surah, Allah warns all of those who do not be, that they should not become a part of these past nations that were destroyed. The past nations, they were warned. Some of them saw miracles. Some of them were just simply were warned by their prophets. They didn't see any miracles. Nuh alayhi salam's people, they didn't see any miracles. The final punishment came and they were destroyed. But He warned them over and over and over. So we don't need to see miracles to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day and take a lesson. No, that's not how it is. So, and what was their final punishment? A flood, which is a normal natural disaster. Of course, that was at a much more epic scale. But in relation to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا عَشْيَاعَكُمْ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. That I have destroyed people just like you in the past. Is there anyone that is going to take a reminder? وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَعَلُوهُ فِي الزُّبُورِ. Every single thing that they did, is written in a book that's not going, and it's all been recorded. وَكُلُّ صَغِيرٍ وَكَبِيرٍ مُصْطَفَرٍ. Every small thing they did, every big thing they did, all of it is written down. So right now, this pandemic is a reminder for us too that we should not like be like the nations of the past because Allah has destroyed them. The next is Surah Rahman. The theme of the surah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes His bounties and His blessings in a very, very beautiful manner with the ayah, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. That which signs of your Lord and which ni'mas of your Lord, blessings of your Lord, are you going to deny? And this ayah is repeated 31 times throughout the entire surah. One very quick fact is that who is this ayah addressing? For those people who know Arabic, تكذبان, it's dual form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying He's addressing two different people. He's saying which blessings of your Lord do you two deny? Who is Allah addressing? Angel, mankind and jinn. Those are the addressees of this entire surah, mankind and jinn, which signs of your Lord do you two deny, you two deny? Tukadziban. Allah SWT is referring to dual, two people. There's two ayahs I wanted to mention regarding the surah that we should think over. First one is Kullu man alayha fan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everyone on this earth is eventually going to be gone, annihilated, finished. So our right now, our life, our birth, our childhood, our school, our job, our entertainment and fun time with family and friends, our picnics, everything was on this small little planet. And not only us, but for every human in the history of mankind, from the ancient Egyptians and the Chinese, the large empires of the past, the modern nations of today, every king, every tyrant, every worker, every merchant, every slave, every master, every janitor, every CEO, everyone's lives were on this planet. But one day, kullu man alayha fan, it is all going to end. And this creature known as mankind will become extinct and will be no more on this planet. And if you actually look at the entire cosmological scale of how much mankind occupies in that timeline, we're almost nothing. We're literally nothing, and we're like a speck in the middle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're all going to be destroyed. Mankind is going to be completely gone, extinct, where everyone will die. What will happen after that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ. We shall soon attend to you for your judgment and your reckoning, O you two great species. Referring to, again, mankind and jinn. So after it's all over, Allah ta'ala will call all of us up regarding our lives on this small planet, our happiness and our joy, our sadness and our sorrow, our times of good and fortune, our times of bad and hardship, our jobs, our efforts, our money, our time. Allah Ta'ala will ask us, who and what was it all for? If it was for this world, we are doomed. But if it was to ultimately to gain the Akhirah, even though we went through worldly means, but it was for the Akhirah, then we are saved. There's a hadith in Jami' al-Tirmidhi which I wanted to relate. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَا عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلْ. The feet of a person on the day of judgment, a person will not be allowed to move his feet from his place on the day of judgment until he's asked certain questions. What is he going to be asked about? An umrihi fima afna, about his entire life and what he spent it in. Wan ilmihi fima fa'ala, about the knowledge he gained and what he did with it. You learned this is right, this is wrong, that's haram, that's halal, what did you do then? Wan malihi min ayna iktasaba wa fima anfaqa, and about his wealth. Where did he earn it from and where did he spend? And the final thing we're going to be asked, an jismihi fima abla, our body and how did we use it? Did we use it for good and for Allah, or did we use it for haram and for jahannam, and we followed the path of shaitan? So even during this pandemic, as we slowly come to normalize ourselves with the situation, with the higher exposures to health issues, with the competitive market for businesses and all the financial constraints that are coming with it, and while we spend Ramadan away from the masajids and the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should remember our final end and these questions that are going to be asked. Each action counts on that day, either it's going to be for us or against us, regarding our wealth, our life, our body, and our knowledge. Every little bit counts. Then next is Surah Waqi'ah. The theme of Surah Waqi'ah is the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three groups of people on the Day of Judgment. The first group is called the Sabiqoon. They are the leading ones. There it's going to include the prophets, the shuhada, the martyrs, and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we can't reach the level of prophets. Some will reach the level of shuhada. But friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are ways to reach it, but it's not the time to talk about that. The second group is the Maymana. They're the people that are going to receive their deeds in their right hand. So there will be a successful too. The third group is Ashabul Mash'amah. They are the people that are going to receive their deeds in their left hand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overall says that the Sabiqoon, prophets, martyrs, and the friends of Allah, they are going to be much less than the people who get their deeds in their right hand. So we should of course strive to be amongst the Sabiqoon. Then the surah mentions the blessings of Allah. It mentions the inevitability of death and how when it comes, we are actually powerless to do anything. Then the next surah is Surah Hadid. The theme of this surah is improving ourselves and spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It talks about the themes of the Day of Judgment and previous nations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically makes the point that spending at a time where you see something not being that fruitful is much more rewarding than spending afterwards. For example, if someone wants to spend on a masjid, and there's that masjid that's very, very small, very tiny, not that many people come to it, maybe they just have like five people coming from each jama'ah, and then you see another masjid have hundreds of people coming, they have thousands of programs going on. Spending on that small masjid now is of more reward than spending on that big masjid with all of those programs. Why? Because once this masjid grows, every dollar you put in, it will be worth much more. It's like a business. When a business is small, even if you put a small amount, your profit share is very, very high. But if there's a business that's already grown, then if you put even a high amount, your profit share is very, very low. Same thing works regarding the akhirah and donating. So all the small business, small masajid, small institutes that haven't grown yet, you should spend on them because that's where most of your money is going to be valuable. Inshallah. The name of the surah is Surah Hadid. Hadid means iron. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is very strong and it is very, very, very beneficial to mankind. It is a way to establish justice in the land, of course, through weapons and armors and all that stuff. One very interesting fact, and I just wanted to mention it very quickly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about iron in the surah, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, and we sent down iron. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say we gave iron or we brought it out from the earth. He says, أَنزَلْنَا, we sent it down. Of course, that means he sent it down from wherever it was onto the earth. So it came from up all the way onto the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent down the iron. Now, among scientists, there was one major theory about the original use of iron in ancient artifacts. When they looked at all the artifacts that were being used for the past 5,000 years, they looked at all the iron and they're wondering, where did the people get this iron from? And their main theory was, for a very, very long time, majority of the scientists, was the theory, their opinion was that it was smelted by artisans using the earth's crust. That they used the earth's crust, so from the earth, they used the earth's crust, and they found out how to take out iron ore, and then they smelted it like that. In December 2017, so it's only 3 years ago, there's a professor by the name of Professor Albert Jambin. He wrote a piece, a little research paper, in the Journal of Archaeological Science, and he analyzed all the objects made from iron dating back to even before 3000 BC. So you're talking about over 5,000 years ago, he analyzed all the objects of iron, and he came to a conclusion. What was his conclusion? His conclusion was that Bronze Age metal workers sought out meteorites to make these treasures. When they had to use iron, where did they get it from? They didn't get it from earthly things. They got it from meteorites. And he specifically says, iron from the Bronze Age are meteoritic, invalidating speculations about early smelting during the Bronze Age. So then he said later on in the Iron Age, what happened was then they actually started using it from the earth. But anyway, so the point is he's saying all the iron that we have that was used historically, not now, now we use it from the earth, all the iron historically that was used in the past, they all received it from meteorites that came from outside of the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah says, أَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, we sent down the iron, of course, so that kind of connects with that. Yeah, just a fun fact. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of the ayahs, this might take a bit of time, but it's okay, it's a very, very important ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about, and there's a little portion where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints a picture of the Day of Judgment for us. And he spends about one-fifth of this surah talking about this. He says that on the Day of Judgment, the believers are going to have their nur, their light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them with them. And the hypocrites will not have any light. So they're going to run after the believers, asking them for their light on the Day of Judgment, because everything will be dark for them. But what are they only going to be told at that time? The angels are going to come and tell them, go back, find your own light. You have no light today, go back. Then they're going to go after more and more to get that light from the believers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put a fence between them and the believers with the light. On one side of that fence, which is side of the believers, there's going to be the mercy of Allah, rahmah, and the side of the hypocrites, what's going to be there? A punishment, adab. When this happens, the hypocrites will say to the other believers, so keep in mind, these hypocrites were believers too. They said to the, as in at least in this world, outwardly, they're going to say to the believers at that time, that wait, weren't we with you? Weren't we with you in the world? We prayed to Allah in the same masjid. We broke fast on the same mat. We were with you the entire time, weren't we with you? So the believers are going to share that, yes, alu bala, surely you are with us, but, and this is what we should remember, walakinnakum fatantum anfusakum, but you put yourself into fitna. You accepted the fitnas of this world, watarabbastum, and you kept waiting. You didn't change. You kept waiting with those fitnas on you, wartabtum, and you had doubt, wagharratkumul amani, and why did you do all of this? Why did you not fix yourself? Because all of your worldly hopes and goals, I'm going to do this when I, in this many years, I'm going to invest in that this many years, in this many years, I'm going to have this job, this house, this car. غَرَّتْكُمْ الْأَمَانِي, all of your hopes and dreams, they completely deceived you. حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ, and you kept doing this until your death finally came to you, and غَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ, and Shaytan, the one who deceived the most, deceived you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a final lesson at the end of this entire incident. But before I get to it, I want to quickly relate a small story about this last ayah, which has this lesson, so we connect with it a bit more. In a book called Kitab al-Tawwabin by Hafiz ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he tells us a story about the tawbah of someone by the name of Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah. Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah was a master of fiqh. He was known as a master of hadith. He was known as a master of tasawwuf, like spiritually too. He was a master of fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can see he was the jack of all trades. So he's considered to be a very, very high, high level scholar of hadith amongst all the ulama throughout the entire world. I don't think anyone disputes about Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah. So Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah, before he turned into who he was a soldier, and he had a very, very bad habit of drinking alcohol. And what happened was, he had a baby daughter, and whenever he would drink alcohol, she would knock it out of his hand each time he would try to drink. This story is very long. I'm summarizing it and making it very short. So each time she would knock it out of his hand. When his daughter reached the age of 2, she ended up passing away. So one night when Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah was sleeping, he had a dream where he saw himself, and it was the day of judgment, and a snake was chasing after him. Now he tried to run, and on his way he saw a very, very old man that was there, and he asked the old man, please help me, please help me. And he passed by him a number of times. Each time the man said that, I can't help you, I'm sorry, I'm too weak. And he started crying that, I'm sorry, I can't help you, I'm too weak. So Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah, in this dream on the day of judgment, he kept running and running and running until he found a mountain that had windows. And a window opened from that mountain, and who did he see from that window? He saw his daughter. His daughter reached down, grabbed her dad's hand, and she reached down with her other hand, and the noor came out, and the snake ran away in the other direction. So Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah was finally saved. Then he sat down with his daughter, while she was in his lap. Again, this is all in the dream, because the daughter, of course, passed away, and so on the day of judgment, he's sitting with his daughter after the snake ran away. And then his daughter, she hits the right hand of Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah, and she grabs his beard, and she tells her, oh, ya abati, oh my father. And now this is the ayah that's actually in this same surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a lesson. And that's the same ayah this daughter says to Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah. What is that ayah she tells him? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has time not come for the believers that their hearts tremble with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Going forward with this ayah, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنْهُ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And they do, and the believers do not become like the nations of the past, that everything was revealed to them. Time passed and passed and passed. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And their hearts became very hard. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And they all became, most of them became sinners. So when Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah heard this, knowing that he has a habit of drinking and has a habit of sin, he started to cry and he said, oh my daughter, you know the Quran as well? His daughter said that, I know it better than you. That at least I've read this Quran and I've learned a message from it, learned a lesson. You're not even taking a lesson from it. Take a lesson. So then his daughter told him that snake, that Imam Malik bin Dinar asked him about the snake and the old man. She said that snake were your bad and evil deeds. You empowered them so much that you were not able to do anything in front of them. And that old man that you saw, your good deeds, they're so weak because you did such few good deeds that your good deeds weren't able to help you at all. After this, Imam Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah, he gets up, فَانْتَبَهْتُ فَزَعًا, and he says, I was shocked and very confused and I was afraid of what the dream that I had. وَأَصْبَحْتُ فَأَرَقْتُ مُسْكَى. He said, I took all of the alcohol that I had and I threw all of it away. وَتُبْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَ, and I made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this was the reason for my tawbah. So the question for us is, are we still waiting for the day of judgment as well? Or أَلَمْ يَأْنِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ. Has time not come for the believers to tremble with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The last surah, Surah Mujadila, it was revealed regarding Khawla bint Tha'laba. Her husband said something to her. I'm not going to go into the details of it, which technically could result in not a divorce, but her being forbidden for them to come together. So she went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, what do we do now in this situation? I don't know what to do. He said these words. So Rasulullah said, all I know is that now you two can't be together. So then Allah subhanahu, then she complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls her Mujadila, the one who complained and argued with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he starts off the surah saying, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا, that Allah has heard her complaint. Allah has heard her. And this surah talks about holding secret councils and traits of the hypocrites, and it talks about that no matter when you're alone, Allah is always there listening to everything you're saying. So man, this was a bit long, but there were very important lessons here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. وَأَخْرِ دَعْوَانَا عَلَى الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.